This is Radio Boston. I'm Carrie Young. We start today in school cafeterias around Massachusetts, where families and school officials are bracing for the worst. Tomorrow is the last day that any child, regardless of income, will be able to eat lunch for free at school. That pandemic-era measure is expiring after Congress failed to renew it. Locally, there are efforts in Massachusetts to extend the program for the entire next school year. But that provision is also tied up in negotiations on Beacon Hill as lawmakers work to finalize the state budget for the fiscal year that begins on Friday. According to the organization Project Bread, every school district in Massachusetts participated in the pandemic-era federal program, and if it ends, as many as 400,000 children would be without meals at school. Here to talk more about what the program means for their students is Keith Lavoy, Assistant Superintendent of Operations at Northborough and Southborough Public Schools, and Sarah Littman, Director of Food and Nutrition Services at Triton Regional School District, serving Newbury, Rowley, and Salisbury, Massachusetts. Sarah, Keith, welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
Well, I want to start with a question for both of you, and that's what's at stake here. Sarah, I'll start with you.
There's a lot at stake. Our students have been provided with their meals for free for the last 2 years. And going forward, we are very unsure of what's going to happen. It is tied up in the state right now. We're really hoping that the budget will be able to provide meals for our students, but it's scary to think where we're going to go from here. These students they've had these free meals. They've been getting the nutrition they've needed to be good students. And it's scary to think that's going to be taken away based on a family's income.
That's a really good point, Sarah. Keith, what about you? What do you think is at stake here?
Well, really, when we think of the pandemic, one of the silver linings of it has been the universal free meal program that everyone in the state has been able to benefit from. And I think with this now being revoked, we're putting some barriers back in place that were drawn down with universal free meals. So, we're getting back into a position of really looking at an individual family's means to be able to provide or send their child to school with or without a meal. And that outreach and being a family that would have to put their name and their income on an application is just a very uncomfortable position. So we've had the benefit for 2 years of not having that pressure, where we've then been able to really focus on the meals that we've been able to provide and the menuing and focusing on the kids versus worrying about, where the fee was going to come from. So putting back those barriers is absolutely the thing that I'm most worried about and that we've been preparing for now for over 3 months.
So it is important to distinguish something right at the top, too. For a long time, there has been a national free or reduced meals program that operates in schools. It's run by the USDA, and that gives free breakfast and lunch to qualifying low-income students. The program we're talking about today is different than that initiative. Sarah, can you take a second to explain a little bit more about that?
Sure. So due to the pandemic, there have been waivers put in place to allow all students, regardless of income, to be provided with free breakfast and free lunch every day. And it really has shown, significant, just amazing things for our students. It's leveled the playing field. It allows all of our students to have the same access to food without having to worry about how much money is in their account. And, we've seen this. New York City has been providing free meals for over 10 years to all their students. And the research really has shown that it increases academic achievement, it lowers occurrences of bullying, and just more overall sense of community in the school district. So these students have been coming into school every day for the last 2 years getting free food. And it's been pretty incredible to see, the sense of community, even just in our cafeterias.
Well, I want to follow up with this, too. Knowing that there was that USDA program that's been around for a while for qualifying students, and we had this COVID-era policy, why do we need the universal policy, no matter what your income is? Isn't that kind of repeating efforts?
Honestly, the way the world has been the last few years, even the last few months, we've seen significant increases in food costs. And we've seen that at our level, as a school district providing food at a high, we're putting out, 2,000 meals a day. And so our food costs have gone up significantly. But think about the families. You go into the grocery store, you're seeing the food costs being significantly increased, and access to food has been taken away due to supply chain and also the war. And so now going forward, these families who have been really relying on school meals to provide nutrition for their kids, that's going to increase their costs now in addition to what they're already having to feel when they go to the grocery store.
I want to ask a question about need to Keith next. Your district has roughly 4,000 total students. What are you seeing right now, or you know, later on in the spring semester? What were you seeing for the need for free and reduced meals then?
You know, that's one of the question marks that we have, because we haven't had to process those applications or review the level of need with families. It has been universally free. So we really don't know what to anticipate as far as the fall is concerned. And that's one of the variables that we're trying to weigh as we plan. What we did see, though, is that through other types of programming throughout the district, that there were families that were reaching out that were in need of support. And we were really directing them towards Project Bread or other types of subsidy programs to, you know, get them the things that they needed. And it went beyond the walls of the school. It was for their family. And like Sarah mentioned, you know, even going to the grocery store now can be a daunting exercise that no one is exempt from. So when we really look at this and what we know we're going to be encountering in the fall, we are predicting a high level of need, and also the administrative staff to process hundreds and hundreds of applications where these families have to, you know, put their income down on an application. And I just think that is a very uncomfortable thing to ask any family, especially when we're talking about getting them a meal at school. So, you know, we've really partnered with Project Bread, really would like to see this legislation pass and the budget gap be mitigated so that we can continue the universal free programs to eliminate that barrier.
And Keith, can you talk a little bit more about how you're talking to the to parents about the possibility of this pandemic era program ending and what it would mean for them?
Well, first of all, we've tried to have a high level of transparency with our school committees. Our district is regionalized, so we have three school committees, and we have tried to keep them abreast of the changes and the legislative updates that have been coming out periodically. So we have been in contact with them. We have sent multiple communications to our families indicating that the universal free lunch program was expiring on June 30th, and that would be returning to a paid program starting at the start of school on August 31st. So we did send out that communication to all families, and we do anticipate doing that again over the course of the summer so that there are no surprises for the start of school. But we still have our fingers crossed, as I'm sure Sarah does, that the legislature will come through and that the universal free meals will be continued.
Keith, you mentioned Project Bread, and we did speak with Erin McAleer, the president and CEO of the organization. She is advocating in Massachusetts to not only extend this program through next school year, but to eventually make it permanent. And she says the benefits of this program go beyond food.
We know that when kids eat free at school, when they have full bellies, they are more likely to learn, they have less health consequences, better long-term economic outcomes. And we feel meals are just as important as a quality teacher and a textbook and a desk. You know, making sure kids are fed is essential to their learning.
Keith, as a school leader, do you agree with this? What ripple effects does feeding students have on them?
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree. You know, it's been one of those things where we saw the immediate benefit, especially of our, you know, grab and go breakfast programs where our kids could start the day with a nutritious meal, even if it was in a grab and go scenario. That really benefited us. We could see it. We saw behaviors improve in just the overall ability to learn and, you know, available for learning was increased due to the ability to give our students their free meals. It's one of the needs that needs to be taken care of regardless before they're available for learning. So as much as we can do to take care of that, we're going to see a ripple effect of benefits. And I would say even during the pandemic with all the other stresses that it produced, this was the one stress that was eliminated and that we saw, you know, 20 to 25% increase in participation on a daily basis. So we saw that have a ripple effect. And I can only imagine that if it were to continue and we can focus on our menuing versus collection of money, you were just going to see this grow exponentially. And that is our hope and our expectation.
Well, and then Sarah, I want to turn to you. What would it mean for your department and your district if this program were to lapse?
It's going to be a very interesting transition. You know, I'm a registered dietitian and I advocate for child nutrition. You know, you can't look at a child and know how much money their family makes or when their last meal was, or even their last meal that met, you know, all the recommended servings of vitamins or minerals. Our, you know, being in a food nutrition program, there are federal guidelines in place for the meals that we're serving. And so we are providing these vitamins and minerals through our food, this nutritious food that we're providing for our students at no cost. And I'm nervous that if students are going to have to go back to paying, that now it's going to, the responsibility is going to be on the families for providing, you know, not only the food cost, but the quality of food. And so with nutrition education slowly coming up, I'm nervous to see the impact, the negative impact it's going to have on students and their growth.
And then last question, Sarah, as we wait for Beacon Hill lawmakers to act, what are you thinking about? What are you hoping for?
I'm hoping for a home run. I've really, when someone asks me if meals are going to be free next year, I've been very optimistic that the Massachusetts legislators will do the right thing. And while this needs to be a permanent solution, at least to extend into the budget for next year, that meals will be free. You know, we're coming down to the wire here. And, you know, back in I believe it was March, the government decided to not include this in the bill. And so there are states in the country who have been preparing for this for months that, you know, meals will not be free next year. But Massachusetts, we have the opportunity. And so I've really been optimistic and proud to be from Massachusetts to say that this option is available to our students and that the conference committee will decide that it will be in the budget for next year.
That's Sarah Littman, Director of Food and Nutrition Services at Triton Regional School District, serving Newbury, Rowley, and Salisbury, Massachusetts, and Keith Lavoie, Assistant Superintendent of Operations at Northborough and Southborough Public Schools. Keith, Sarah, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.